Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. It's our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid fulcrum to the foundation.
The foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Doctors Hospital, Marco's Pizza, Pinder Tile, and Printmasters.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company. The Foundation. Howard Grant in your company. The Foundation. The fellas say, I thought your name was Hart. You need to stop. My doctor, when I went over the thing, y'all need to stop. But it's a beautiful day, guys. I'm grateful to be in your company. Always happy to be here, kind of jam this thing on and do what we do on a regular basis. So we're still having a good conversation about forgiveness. I am grateful to be in your company. Always happy to be here to talk about where we are. Today is Wednesday, the 8th of January. Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I just pray that the Father continues to be able to watch over you. Many of you are getting prepared for the weekend. You're getting prepared for this long weekend, this extended weekend. I know that we're going to be able to have majority rule. And so with majority rule, you're going to be bleeding into that Saturday and that Sunday. So we're going to be able to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I know you guys are excited for that. Hoping that you're making some plans. I know that we don't have this kind of a conversation about barbecuing and whatnot. This is something that we often hear about 4th of July, but I feel like it's a good time to barbecue. I don't know if it can be mad chilly, but I feel like it's a good time to barbecue. You go outside in the back. You got to do nothing fancy. If you get one little barbecue or you get one little couple of rocks, put some fire underneath it and get one some sort of grill, something, and be able to do something, man. Yeah, man, I think it's important. That's one of the things that we used to do when we were young. My friends and my cousins enjoyed me for that. I always thought, how do we accommodate food into this thing? I'm going to be honest with you. Anytime, because we did a lot of exploration in the northern side of Grand Bahama, right? The northwest in Grand Bahama. All the bushes out in the back there. We were in the bushes on a day-to-day basis. But we got bikes. We were way down in the bikes. And, we used to modify the bikes. So you sand it down. You burn the frame, you sand it down, you spray it, right? And you had to keep your bike. Then you make it fixed wheel, right? So, you know, I don't know if you know about these things. I don't know if the younger people know about these things that we enjoyed when we were young. So, you know, we were out in the north side straight through. But anytime it come to, it was like maybe 10, 15 of us, just like a mad bike thing, right? It felt like we were just doing our thing, especially after we watched the Goonies. We went out looking for gold. So I'm telling you the truth. So we found ourselves in this kind of position. But every single time, I was responsible for the snacks, the drinks. And I'd say, okay, guys, it's time for us to be. It's hold on. Y'all get your cup. Everybody get your little cup. All right. This. No. You had enough juice. You had enough. I managed the snacks the entire time, right? So I'm only saying that to say to you, yeah, I did that. I bring the wieners, the hot dog. He's put on a stick. We did the whole thing over the campfire. We created this. We didn't need no scouts and all these things. It was just us deciding that this is what we wanted to do. And so I'm hoping that you make a decision that over this long weekend that you want to break bread with your family members, break bread with your loved ones, kind of have those conversations of reconciliation and try to do it at a monotone. I just want to talk like this with you. We're still talking about forgiveness. Do it in a monotone approach. Make sure that your voice don't go up a particular frequency. I know that some of these things still got you peed. And you're indifferent of the approach of how you be able to do these things. But that no matter how difficult this may be for you, no matter the memories that continue to be able to rush back to you of how you deal with these particular people, how these people made you feel, decide. Come on, talk to me. I just want to talk with you today. Decide that you can do this. Decide that you can do this. I'll be decent with you guys. We're still talking about forgiveness. I'm still talking about that kind of an idea of being able to take that membrane of indifference over our hearts and pull that down. To take that callus that existed over our emotions and our desires to be able to be as one with our family. Let's see if we can chip at that. Let's see if we can be able to eradicate that and get to the flesh, the heart of this matter, and really talk about how we can grow as individuals. Because as soon as we start to be able to recognize some stuff individually, I believe that we can be able to find ourselves in a position where we can become a true community. I want to be decent with this and have a very clear conversation with you guys. I got to shout out my good decent people over at AFS Insurance. Agents and brokers, they got everything laid out for you. Make sure you go and check them out. They are located number 407 Blue Hill Road South. Blue Hill Road South. Check them out, 351-AFS. They can take care of you in those areas. Get yourself your driver's license. I'm sorry, your insurance to go get your driver's license and other stuff like that. Guys, this is going to be an exciting year for me. I decided that I don't want to jump the gun. I don't want to jump the gun, but I want to tell you that we have to diversify our portfolio. We have to, for all those who don't necessarily understand what the diversification of your portfolio means, we have to find other ways, means, and avenues of being able to make money outside of the norm. And for many of you, that may be the fact that you've looked at that locally. So you may look at a second job, you may look at a third job, you may look at all these particular things, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being able to recognize the talent that exists in you. Package that talent, however you package it, package that talent and present that locally and abroad, more specifically to a market of 340 some, almost 60 million people, which is the United States of America. And you have to be able to create a space where you can be able to find income coming in. There's people hit me up, how would you get PayPal, you got Venmo, you got this, you don't have these things. We cut ourselves out of some significant dollars because we don't have a stream of income. Say out of the United States of America. You may be a taxi driver. You may be an Airbnb host. You may have any level of tourism-related activities. You do adventures and so forth and so on. Your payments can be made. That 50% that you require upfront can be made and held in an LLC for you. We got to talk about this. Can I talk? This ain't the topic today, but as we are kind of tiptoeing into the vicinity of being able to talk about transformation mentally, spiritually, physically, we got to get to financially. We got to get to financially. And we can talk about this money too. We got to make money and be able to put that thing aside so we can make some things happen. Put yourself in the position where you can buy one little piece of property across the street. Put yourself in the position where you could be able to build wealth and identify some stuff. We as a population in this country spending billions of dollars in the United States of America. We take our income, we are major consumers. And we ain't looking for no reciprocity. We given to them and not expecting anything back. We give to them the money that we made from our labor. This is bananas. We got to fix this. We got to fix this. There is a talent that exists in you. There is a talent that exists in you. Listen to me. Even if you only know how to wash car, clean, if for the longest time that you have been a housekeeper, right? If you've worked in these particular areas, if you have worked in these kind of areas where all you know how to do is just be able to maintain an environment, that is an opportunity for you, okay? These people got luxury boats that coming over here. They need that to be clean. If all you know how to do, if you was only a runner in your life, you just go get things what people ask you to get. You can't wait for politics time when they tell you, go get one, 2 cases of chicken, get this. All right, now you're on. Yeah, if this you, and I don't make light of you, this is what you do, and you're good at it, okay? There is an opportunity that exists for you also. Airbnbs, they come over here in their yachts. They need you to get specific things. You know how to do that. You have relationships. Start your business now. Start your business. And I'm excited to talk to you about this because I just came off a Zoom call that enlightened me a great deal of how to be able to do things. I did a Zoom call this morning. And on that Zoom call, we started to talk about different concepts and ideas of how you can be able to find an agent certified, verified by the IRS, by these particular entities that can be able to maintain and continue to be able to provide opportunities for you to be able to do these things in the United States of America. Guys, you got to be able to diversify. You got to look at different avenues. Listen to me. Taxes going up, 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 up. You got to pay more bills. Yeah, listen, I'm looking in the newspaper right now, and Abaco storm shelter misses finish date. A call to extend maternity leave up to 20 weeks. Where you can get this money from? Where you can get this money from? I don't reject the idea. I agree with it. There are countries that you could take a year off. I agree with this. I don't have no problem with that. Postpartum, so forth and so on. But while you're going through your postpartum, while you're being able to identify this stress on your body, you got extra stress because you know you ain't got no money in 2 weeks. We got to figure out how we could make money with what we have in our hands now. So let's talk about that. We can expand on that conversation by the end of this month, spilling into February. While you want to talk about love, I want to talk about how we love and how we need to be able to make some money so we can retain and sustain these relationships that we have and go forward. It cannot be the greatest issue that we have. The indifference that we have is you broke, I broke, we mad. We get to fix this. All right? Guys, I want you to join me in conversation today. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. The former CID chief charged, prominent attorney, and a police sergeant also faces charges. This is in the newspaper. Prime Minister to give national address on crime and the economy today. And also the PHA says that it is committed to reaching an agreement with the CPSA. The IDB report said it lacks the lack of skilled labor could be hindering economic growth in the Bahamas. Yeah. There's a lot of things. 34 migrants captured during the health minister is monitoring the HMPV spread in the Eastern Hemisphere. This is something that's going on, I think, out of China. That has been talking about some stuff. I don't know about you, but I just get sensitive about some things. My son was here, and my oldest son, he won't go out late in the night and so forth and so on, and come in late. He think he fly, right? He got his hair locked up and things like that. He think he super fly. He out here being able to walk barehead and light clothes, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, now he say, oh, my God, I feel horrible. He got to go to the doctor. He went to send him down to the doctor, so forth and so on. They got to put him on augmentin. So, and listen, you all some games, you know. Stop playing games. There are, especially with the shift in the weather, there's kind of an up and down. You got to take care of yourself. Don't catch a check. Don't catch a check. And because this information comes out, you have to be more cautious as it relates to being able to speak with people directly. Yeah, because I feel some phlegm on my chest. Some, what did you call it? Film? Phlegm? Phlegm. I feel on my chest. And I said, hold on, wait. I don't know where this from. Now I got to increase all my little vitamins and so forth and so on to ensure that I can be able to build up my immune system. This is a tricky time in terms of the weather. So ensure that you keep yourself safe. Wear your scarf, put your little shawl on, so forth and so on. When you're going out in the evenings, you ain't too big. I know you won't show your muscles. I know you won't be able to do those things, but ensure that you can keep yourself safe in this kind of a position where you don't have to, you ain't got no problems, all right? So let's talk about that and talk about these particular things. Now, I just want to say this before we get into our forgiveness series. I'm going to be decent with this. Michael Johnson and Bijan Ferguson, I know that you are innocent. Now, I mean, not by the standards of our society. I know that you're innocent until proven otherwise. But I must tell you, in the court of public opinion, in ingesting this information and identifying your faces in the front of the papers, and being able to see these things, it is heartbreaking. If I was your mother reading this, if I was your father, if I was your uncles, your cousin, who have been proud of you and proud that you've been able to carry our last name, our legacy so far, for the country to be able to see what you've done. I've been proud of you this entire time, and to be able to see this turn is a heartbreaking thing. If I was your family, I'm not even your family. I sure I ain't your cousin. I don't know y'all like this. But as I see your face in the papers, it is a discouraging thing for the idea of a man to give so much of himself for elevation in society. And you feel like you can make a decision to elevate yourself further, contrary to the convictions, to the oath, to the commitment, to the Constitution, to your responsibilities, contrary to your upbringing, contrary to your family. It's hard, man. It's hard. I'm sure they still love you. And I'm sure that this is hard. I'm sure that there are family members that vehemently defend you anytime your name is brought up about those things. But there are some persons that quietly are very disappointed in this. Whether or not you come out to be innocent at the end of the day, whether or not the charges are thrown out of court, whether or not this is, whatever happens, the onset and proximity to something of this nature and magnitude, which is not just confined locally, but I said to you that these things are spilling out internationally, and your last name is going before you. Your family's name is going before you. Remember, we're a very small community, man. All y'all who doing foolishness in your various divisions of government, who've been responsible, who've been promoted, this is a very small community. And if no one, if our times have shifted where people don't talk to you about the shame you bring to your family, know we thinking about that. Know that. Now, I don't know whether or not we've shifted so far and moved so far away from the post where I got to get me, come hell or high water. I want to let you know that I'm disappointed in these things, man. Not because I got a halo on me, I got wings and all these things, I think I'm holier than thou. No! I got to be honest with you. Every opportunity that you were afforded, I was. I sharp. I smart. I hear. I'm articulate. I'm informed. I got relationships. I'm afforded these opportunities. Please believe me. Please believe me. I can tell you stories. I told you a story. I told you the story when I was fresh from Cuba, coming over from Cuba. The guy says, well, you can speak Spanish. Local guy. I know him. I ain't going to call his name. He said, of course I can speak Spanish. You think I'm going to Cuba to do nothing? Of course I can speak Spanish. He said, oh, good, you can speak Spanish. I said, can you speak Spanish? What kind of stupidness are you asking me? Right? This is me talking to him because now I'm upset. You asking me stupid things. I just tell you yes. Okay, no. He said, well, look, man, come and check me out. Check me out. Come check me tomorrow. Right? I want you to check me here. I think we got a great business opportunity because you speak Spanish. Okay. I really thought this was a business opportunity. He said, meet me by this hotel. We got some guys. I got a room. We're going to be able to set some stuff up. I walk in the room. Four Colombians in the room. I tell you the truth. This is a true story. Four Colombians in the room. I only saw three when I walk in. Right? And then the door closed. There's a fourth one behind me. I said, Jesus, these people are trying to kill me. Why are all these Colombians in here? And so one was sitting on the bed with a briefcase on the side of him. I'm telling you a true story. And the black boy who bring me there, standing up on the side there. So the one who's sitting on the bed, the Colombian who's sitting on the bed, starts speaking Spanish to me. And me and him having a conversation. So he said, you speak Spanish? I said, yeah, I speak Spanish. I'm speaking to you, right? He said, yes. He said, listen, man, how good you speak Spanish? I said, I speak good. I had an opportunity to live in Cuba for a year. And I said, I speak Spanish well enough, and I continue to be able to grow and expand from this particular thing. This we talk in Spanish. So he said, man, so you communicate well. I like how you speak like this. You sound like a Cuban. I said, yeah, because I learned my Spanish on the streets. I didn't say anything. Me and him talking. We talking in Spanish, right? I said, I didn't do the class thing because I tried the class thing in my country. I said, I never learned nothing in the class. I was a C average student. I said, but I had to learn Spanish. I went on the streets. I talking to him. He said, man, I think it's a great opportunity. I want you to be able to go to Colombia. I want you to go to Panama and pick this, this, and this up. I want you to do these particular things. He said, you don't have to do nothing much. Just give these to him and you can make $300,000. You all hear me? The man tell me to go to Panama, pick something up, and make 300. I didn't watch all the Locked Up and Abroad and this and that and the next thing. All I could think is my big body being carved out as a cadaver and being able to be stuffed with small pellets and shipped back to the Bahamas. I say, this man must be stupid. I got things to do with my life. Huh? When I came out the room, I called the guy back. I say, don't you ever in your life talk to me again. You hear me? Who I look like? Do I look like a criminal? Don't you ever. This man put me in this kind of situation. I say that to say to you, every one of us have an opportunity to go contrary to our convictions. And when you make that decision, society to look at you any other way than contrary, than a miscreant, you can't expect us to look at you any other way. We are here working hard. We're having a conversation about diversifying our portfolio to make other monies legally. And you out here doing darkness, allegedly, for money. We got to confront these people. We can forgive them, but the first thing we got to deal with is anger management. Guys, let me take this quick commercial break and get to it. The line's going to be wide open. I want you to join me in conversation today and let's jam and have a good conversation about where we are, if you're doing any reflection and being able to get to the position that we're on. You know the numbers, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere for the Family Violence, 242-300-5720 or hit me up 422-4796. Quick break. Going to be right back after this.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
This holiday season, stay connected to the ones you love with Alive. Switch today and get 5 gigabytes of data free with your first 30-day plan. Whether you're sharing holiday moments or enjoying Junkanoo Bay, Alive keeps you connected all season long. Visit BeAlive.com to make the switch today. It's Alive.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company. The lines are wide open if you want to be able to join us. Today we're still talking about what we started to talk about. We want to be able to take this kind of a time. I know from a traditional standpoint, we often have a conversation about historic avenues, historic concepts and ideas leading up to majority rule, the spirit that invoked the Bahamas at this particular time, what we embodied to be able to move towards liberation and the necessity for us to be able to find ourselves freed and be able to break the monotony of segregation. And, you know, I know you won't talk like this. I know that you are familiar with these kind of conversations. I know that you are familiar with this language around this time. I know that the rhythm of our culture, the rhythm of our community kind of propels people into these kind of spaces. But I don't want to talk like that. I don't want to talk like that. I'm sure that you're going to have enough of this anywhere else you go. That's fine. I'm not going to fight you. I want to talk about us. I want to talk about this divorce that we've had in ourselves, in our communities, from that liberation that we speak of. I want to talk about how we found ourselves limp when we were liberated, how we found ourselves inept in this kind of posture and position as a result of not being able to realize some of the dreams, hopes, and aspirations that we've had for a long time, how we're confused to the point where we've had so much education, right? We've had so much education and had all these particular things done. But as a result of that, we still can't realize some things. I won't talk about it. That's what I want to talk about with you. I don't want to talk about this sort of an idea with, oh, well, our fathers of yesteryear, you know, they were strong. And this is why these families, like, yeah. We know this. We know this. And I respect this. I respect this and I give due honor and pay homage to these families, their commitment, their heart. But we're at this juncture now that we're stagnant. We're limbo as a society. We're in a limbo. We haven't moved. We're going back and forth between one political organization to another. We are getting more educated and more frustrated as the day goes. And I don't want to talk about this idea of what yesterday meant to us because we have not realized that today. At least not for the majority. There may be a niche if there's 400,000 people, at least 20,000 people to 40,000, which represents about 5 to 10% of our society is doing well. These are the elitists. These are people who are not even in the upper class. These people, I mean, not even in the middle class. These people are upper class. It's all money that they got. These 5% and 10% persons that live in our society, they are affluent. But for the majority of us, we are in a position where we're looking to diversify portfolio. The investment that we made with our property, we got to figure out how we could be able to get an Airbnb on that because now we're moving closer to retirement. We ain't got no money. We need to be. So much things are happening and you're frustrated. You're angry. And I think a lot of us haven't forgiven our parents. We haven't forgiven the government. And we haven't forgiven ourselves. I think a lot of us retire to the idea that this is what it is. We retire to that. We put our hands up and say, well, no, I guess that's just life. It is what it is. We forget about our faith. Or if we follow this faith that we claim that we have, it spills into religion. Just the rhythm of presentation, just the rhythm of showing up, and no emphasis, no conviction, no heart, no contribution. Let's talk, man. Let's be real with this thing today. We have in hell as a society. And we got to find ourselves to a position of liberation, of growth, of development. But I am convinced, for me, that this can't happen without us first dealing with ourselves. Everywhere you go, you're there. From this, you run to Canada, you run to Atlanta, you run to San Francisco, you run to wherever you go, Quebec, it don't matter. Wherever you go, you're there. And as a result of this, these issues that continue to be able to gnaw at your spirit, you're still going to be able to have significant fights going forward. So let's talk. Lines are wide open, 323-622-32-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere. For the Family of Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line. Go ahead.
How you doing, Howard?
Hi, good, man. What's happening?
I'm good. I'm still thinking, you know, as to why you want to have a conversation that nobody wants to have.
But if you don't want to have it, what you call for?
No. I have a conversation on this.
Well, let's go there.
Okay.
You don't worry about everybody else. Some people just need to hear.
Middle class, hey? All the stuff you talk about, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of us creating streams of income, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's one fundamental requirement.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a middle class space for that.
No, you don't.
Hold it.
No, you don't.
When the PLP came to power in 1967, you know who they came to power on the backs on?
The Bohemian people.
No, they came to power on the backs of a middle class that was in place. Oh, they might not have looked like middle class.
This is inaccurate information. This is not. This is not inaccurate and no historical value to that.
Okay.
You know that is true.
I'll just clear it for you. Okay? We had a recent study here. And it was defining who the middle class was, right?
Okay.
And according to that middle class, it was based on persons who paid rent.
Okay.
Okay, that's in the study.
Okay.
So, you having these aspirations, and basically, you ain't got no foundation for these aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because if you paying rent, see, because my opinion of middle class is that you could be middle class and you could afford to pay rent. But until you get to that spot, you need to have a foundation in place. As far as we know, mm-hmm. in Western culture, this middle class thing has to do about property ownership and paying a mortgage and establishing a jump off point for those who come in after you. It ain't so much about you. It's more about your children's children.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we preoccupied with what we want. You know, and we are putting a chokehold on our children moving forward. You know, in terms of slavery, right? One of the worst things is that we who come out of it have a problem with giving to our children that which was not given to us. And that requires a sacrifice. Now, I'm all for your stuff on us moving into this digital thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to know exactly where we are. You know, I mean, I love to hear you,
mm-hmm.
but now and then, it's like a pie in the sky thing, you know, and you are not really in touch with reality. But,
mm-hmm.
but because you're married and you have a wife, I think you get in touch with reality every day.
I can see you later. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Thank you so very kindly for that. I told a story this morning, last night. I had an opportunity to be able to sit down with my cousin. I hadn't seen in a very long time. He came over. He's here in Nassau with my brother. And we grew up together in the same house. I mean, literally in the same house. We shared everything. We ate from the same pot. And I just haven't seen him in a long time, right? I miss him. His father and his family, his boys, everything, right? And so when I saw him last night, you know, everything was out the window. When he told me he was here, I said, all right, come over. We can cook something. My wife put something together, and we sat down and we spoke. Only because it's a school night, my brother had to carry the kids back to go to sleep. But we talk until, let's say, 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, he kind of keep me up with the family and talking. And he talked about, it was sort of this avenue towards forgiveness. And in talking about that, it really was able to kind of put some things in perspective for me. I was grateful for the conversation. I was grateful for it. And grateful for an opportunity to be able to talk about those things. And when I got to that, I realized that there is a vision, a view, an idea. It's just two things that we pursue in this life. It's just two things that we can pursue. I don't care how you deviate and kind of structure it for yourselves, whether that's good and evil. I don't know how you do it. But I like to be able to identify this as pleasure and purpose. That's it. Pleasure is a carnal thing for the fulfillment of flesh. And purpose is a rejection of those particular things for the purpose of fulfillment. That's just what it is. Now, yesterday, my guest said something, and I think most of us heard this before. There are two people living in you. We've heard this before. You heard this before. And if you speak the thing, this is what emerges in due time and due season. This is what develops. This is the characteristics. This is the idea, the goals, the aspiration. This is what we move towards. Because you encourage and strengthen the king that exists in you. But if you relentlessly speak to the fool, if you affirm this fool's posture, if you affirm this fool's position, if you reject the idea of the possibility to move against the grain of contentment and understand the importance of being able to move towards something greater, that you can leave a legacy here, then you, if you reject those things, then you will end up having a conversation that says, well, ain't nothing we can do. We can just have to leave like this. This is just how it is. And you take no consideration for the fact that if you are here, if you are born, then there is an opportunity for change. And so this is my posture. And a lot of persons deem me, and we hear it on the radio, they deem me out of touch. You have no idea. I want to be even further out of touch. I do. The rhythm of what's happening in this society today, political, social, economic, from a business standpoint, entrepreneurial, relational, what's happening in our society, I want no part of this. This ain't what I dream of. This ain't what I hope for. I may be out of touch simply because I don't indulge, but I'm not oblivious. I could see. I just choose to move in a different direction. I do not choose to move with you. I don't. I do not choose to move with the rhythm of what you're doing because it has proven nothing for that. The people who are deemed or identified as successful and doing well, and you don't know how they do nothing. You know, my brother said last night, and I thought about this, and you know what he said, just talking. He said, you know, it's peculiar. These people are rich, and you ain't never hear a story of how they don't have a testimony for their tribulation that they would have gone through. How these people get their money? Let's talk, guys. Be out here glorifying and lifting up people who are perceived, assumed to be wealthy, to be rich, and they never give us a story yet. They never tell us how they start. They never tell us about the tribulation. They 7-Up got a story. Talk to me, let's just be decent. WD-40 got a story. Hello? Every one of these companies got a story. But when we heard Enron's story, it was after they were condemned. And then we realized, oh, this is why they never told us a story. When we heard the story from FTX at the forefront, we thought we knew the story, the philanthropy. But then you heard the backstory, you said, okay. We get to ask questions. And if you align yourself with something that's contrary to the convictions that existed in your mother, because not in you, because you've made modifications over time, in your mother and your grandmother, if you want to make modifications to those convictions, the convictions that held our country down when we had nothing, when we were pronounced in the light of a fishing village, a quiet fishing village, but there were survivors here, there were striving people here. If you, at this time, based upon what you could see, make this determination that, hey, listen, mama them is wrong. Maybe I got to, you know, do a little darkness because everybody doing it and God ain't come for them, so what he can come for me for? If that's what you want to do, then do that. But I reject this idea that I'm oblivious. I reject this idea that I live in this kind of a space where I'm holier than thou. I just make a determination that I don't want that. I don't want that. There's enough thieves out here. Y'all go get it. Y'all straight. I don't want that. Let's be decent. I want you guys to join me in conversation. I'm sure that this is going to be able to spill into news because I haven't taken my second break. But I want you to join me in conversation and let's talk today. We're going to be talking about anger. We're going to talk about the breakdown for anger. And I want to be able to talk to you about these things. But before we do that, before I be able to get out of here for a commercial break, I want to just read this little thing right here. I'll read. In the Bahamas, the middle class is generally defined as a combination of economic and social and lifestyle factors rather than a strict income range. The middle class typically includes individuals and families who have stable employment, own property, or are in the process of acquiring it and have access to higher education and healthcare. However, the specifics can vary due to the unique economic structure of the Bahamas. And the characteristics of the middle class in the Bahamas is income level. An annual income level allows basic needs to be met, such as housing, transportation, education, healthcare, with some discretionary spending. And you can be able to do that. It's looking between $25,000 to $75,000. Employment, often employed in professions such as teaching, nursing, banking, law enforcement, skilled trades, and middle-level management. Some may own small businesses or engage in self-employment. Property ownership, education, lifestyle, economic security, cultural role, and some of the challenges that we find now are high cost of living and some other vulnerabilities. Now let's talk about this. Whether or not the middle class is being eroded in the Bahamas. Yes. The middle class in the Bahamas is experiencing erosion, a phenomenon that reflects broader global trends and is exacerbated by local economic and social challenges. This erosion is evident in increasing financial pressures, declining economic mobility, and the growing difficulty in many Bahamians to maintain or achieve a middle-class lifestyle. Whatever qualifications that you do to make modification outside of a scale that exists, the middle class is eroding. The values that existed in this particular space is eroding. Education is increasing, finances is depleting, and there is significant frustration in the midst, in the middle there. Let's talk about these things, guys. You know the numbers to be able to call. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the Family Violence 242-300-5720 or hit me up 422-4796. Let's take this quick commercial break, get to news, and be right back after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
You try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no.
For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, reading cards and news, thinking there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Attention Marco's Pizza lovers in Freeport and to our Cable Beach customers, we have heard you. Marco's $10 carryout, one large, one topping pizza is now available at all locations. That's right. Whether you live out east, west, central, south, or in Freeport, Marco's has you covered. Call in or order online and pick up in restaurant today. Marco's is getting bigger and better, but this unbeatable deal is available for a limited time only.
The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company. The Foundation, live and in full effect. The lines are wide open. I'd love you to be able to join me in conversation if you're thinking about these things. Listen, this thing's intertwined into much, okay? This thing's intertwined into much. This reflection, whilst we approach it from a spiritual standpoint, whilst we're going to be able to have therapists to talk about the intangibles, the tentacles that exist in your indifference. I don't know whether or not this is a lot of words. The branches that spring forth of this tree of frustration in your country that come from you. You upset from one division. You upset for another division. You upset for all these particular things. These branches are multifaceted. They're not only spiritual. Your frustration, you may not necessarily be able to pinpoint that to spirituality. Not just because you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, or whether or not you're religious or you're not religious or you're faith-oriented. We're not just merely talking about that. And we're not talking about being able to rectify it from that standpoint alone. There are a lot of branches that needs to be trimmed. There is much pruning to be done in our society. We're frustrated. I, Howard Grant, have been frustrated with this presumed, identified, alleged corruption that has been looming over our country for far too long. I am naive. I exist in this space of naivete. I am fooled as it relates to why these things happen. There is much justification. There is much reasoning. There is this breakdown of why these people do this. And it's always this domino effect that travels backward into their childhood. I grew up here too. And I don't necessarily believe that I came from a privileged environment. Maybe you identify that as different based upon your growing up. But all of us, whilst you look at me, I was looking at someone else and identifying what privilege looked like. And maybe people was looking at me and saying, this is what privilege looked like. Which was confusing to me, because I right here in 8 Mile Rock High School with you. Which is a very foolish thing, and in my mind. In my mind. I grew up here in this space. And maybe the vantage point I come from, or the advantage that I had, rather, is that I had people that say, go for it, baby. Nothing else. They say, go for it, baby. Nothing else. Maybe you had people that pull you down and say, you ain't worth nothing. You talking stupidness. You can't do that. You can't do these. I don't know. But when I articulated a dream, and I tell it to my grandmother, because ain't everybody is telling you, identify some people. My grandmother would say, go for it, baby. Let Grammy know how she could help you, baby. Maybe you didn't have that. And maybe you had this crushing sense that no one believed in you, and you turned to crime. I am naive. Fool. To try to figure out, why did you turn to crime? Why is this your go-to thing? Why? I can't understand it. And I've become angry with my society and frustrated, despondent, and I pull back from the participation that I know that I could lend to my society. I pull back from organizational participation because of what I see and what I've seen fester and grow in these particular spaces. I don't want to be a part of anything dark. I pull back. And I suppose that I am naive to believe that there can even be a semblance of good when people are inherently evil. You're born in sin and shaped it and molded in this thing. And this is who you are. I'm naive. But we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about how we could grab a little bit more of this oblivious state. How we can act on the reality and be able to charge the atmosphere with a truth. With a truth. That we could change this. That we can do this. And you may not necessarily believe that this is a possibility of happening. You may not believe that. You may not believe that that we can actually change this thing with our words. You may not believe it. You may not believe that we could change our environment with words, but you believe science. You believe science, and you believe the breakdown, and I keep telling you that the science, they keep finding the intangibles of how these things work and the consistency of these particular spaces. There was a study done, and the study took classical music, violin, piano, all these particular things. They took classical music and they played it to their crop, some flowers, every single day. And then they took like some rock and roll, some heavy metal type stuff, and they played it to another batch. This is a sign. This is what they've done. They provided the exact same amount of water on a day-to-day basis. They provided the exact same sunlight, the same exposure to those things, the same physical nurturing in terms of the soil and the tilling and so forth and so on, shifting, the pruning or whatever the case may be. They provided the exact same thing. The only thing that was different is they charged the atmosphere in one area with classical, positive music, lighthearted and uplifting music, right? No words, just kind of a, you know, instrumental. And then the other one, this heavy metal rock, they played this every single day. And do you know that the area or the division that had the classical music, that had the exact same sunlight, the same water, same everything, they flourished, they blossomed, they were green, they were rich. And the other one that had the heavy metal and this kind of a, you know, this heavy music. They all were welted and dark. They never blossomed. I am saying to you that reject this idea if you must. That's up to you. About the principles that exist in the Word of God that says to us that we must speak life, that life and death are in the power of our tongue, that we must charge the atmosphere with positivity on a relentless basis, that we must, despite how it looks externally, be able to speak positively in our environment, that we must be able to wake up with a song on our hearts, in our mouths, and be able to make a declaration over this country. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are. But we could watch this country change if we believe it can. That we could watch this country change if we could open our mouths and speak life to this. Man, you don't have to be no, oh, and God said, you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to do that. You just got to determine that you're going to be able to change this, change your language. Change your language. It's a beautiful day. It's a glorious day. This is a wonderful country. Oh, I'm so grateful that we're ridding corruption, that corruption is coming to an end. I ain't do nothing. All I did was make a declaration into this atmosphere to change this country. We got to open up our mouth and speak. This wall of Jericho that we've been walking around has been decades. It is time for us to shout into the atmosphere and expect the corruption, the indifference, the violence, that hurt and pain that existed to fall. We have to expect it. It's our responsibility. I can't carry this anger with me no more. This ain't doing nothing for me. I can't carry this with me anymore. This is too heavy. I can't allow this to fester and seep into my DNA and become a part of my existence, because when I have offsprings, this is what's going to be in them. This is too much. How do we rid ourselves of this? How do we? It can't be by being able to say, well, you live in La La Land, Howard. We as killers and murderers. You and hear what Wayne Monroe say. This is who we are. We've accepted it. We're living in hell in this dark hole. We're never going to get a savior. And you better find a way to make your money for yourself. Because every man for himself and God for us all. And you know God don't show up sometimes. So you better be on your own. Is that the lump sum of our society now? Is that the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of the existence of the Bahamas? Is this idea of being able to always deflect, default, reset to this concept and idea of piracy and how that we must end the way that we began? Is that what the expectations are? And if that's the expectation, then we might as well don't give birth to no children no more. Come on, talk to me. You might as well just... All of us should get a vasectomy. All of us, men, just get a vasectomy. One time. If there's no hope for the future, just forget about it. And we can pursue that pleasure that we talked about. Because if there's no purpose in this, then what are we doing? Lines are wide open. Caller, go ahead.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing well. Can't hear you. But I listened to you for the past few minutes, and you're right on target. The only thing is, in this country, though, we have what we call leadership crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, Howard, is that the leaders in our country seem to set bad examples for the citizen of our country to follow.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as if we're not going anywhere. We're not doing the things that is required of us. The people of the Commonwealth Bahamas and even the leaders of our country, we're not going much places. Give an example of that. You know, this morning on White Show,
Dwight refused to talk about the issues that is confronting the Bahamas right now. He would prefer to talk about what was going on in America versus what's going on in our... And I hear you talking about...
I want you to mash up Dwight because, you know, we talk topics. These, if it's local or international, don't mash them up. But we could talk the way we're talking. Go ahead.
I'm going to speak truth.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying to you, we have some crisis in this country that the Bahamian people really want to talk about. Tonight, our prime minister is supposed to be addressing our nation. Tomorrow morning, everybody want to talk about what the prime minister said tonight. But we refuse to talk about what happened in our country over the past 6 months in particular about some strong issues that really need to be discussed and the Bahamian people really want to help.
Mm-hmm.
The media plays a role that the Bahamian people have an opportunity to express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as if only what the government want to talk about, that's the narratives that you all promote. The Bahamian people have a voice.
So tell me what you want to talk about. Give me three top things that the Bahamian people want to discuss right now.
Pardon me?
Give me three top things that the Bahamian people want to discuss.
Oh, we want to talk about leadership.
Okay.
That's number one.
Okay.
Secondly, well, you see, everything else from leadership, it falls right down because all the criminal activities that you hear going around in this country, it's because of bad leadership.
Mm-hmm. So secondly will be crime.
Secondly will be crime.
Okay, I can write it down. All right.
And third, it's the cost of living in our commonwealth of the... We want to talk about these issues.
Okay.
But we have people who are stagnating the conversation rather than addressing the real concern of the Bahamian people.
Well, I want to tell you this. One thing on this radio station, what we do is we talk, and I really do appreciate your telephone call. I thank you so very kindly for being able to do that and your contribution. I like these top three things that you've given me in terms of leadership, in terms of crime, in terms of cost of living. But can I say that we speak about that every single day here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM? That every show encompasses an element of being able to give you a diverse and a different perspective and a different view, a different angle about how we approach these things, how we dissect it, how we do those things. We are a station that talks about current issues locally, internationally, regionally. That's our responsibility. Information, entertainment, consistency. We have fresh news, fresh talk all day. This is what we do. This is what we do. And I just want to be honest with you. Like I said, I didn't want you dragged Dwight into nothing, into these particular things. Everyone has their approach of how they do things. But all of us have a responsibility of being able to encompass this thing, to pull this together and to say, hey, listen, this is how we're going to approach this. This is what it is. And so I do appreciate you being able to talk about that. And this is what we're talking about. Today, we're talking about, or the series that we have now is talking about forgiveness, being able to deal with anger management and finding ourselves to a path of peace. That's leadership. The leadership, and I don't necessarily always have to be able to give it a title or the topic is leadership and then the subtopic is these particular divisions. I don't have to do that. Through discernment, you should understand that if we're talking about strengthening the core of who we are as individuals, as men, as leaders, then this will be a reflection of our leadership going forward. So hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully that makes sense to you that there is, for me, as I assess this and identify this, we have done our best to be able to hit all fronts. There is a diverse set of hosts here that all talk about what our expectations are for the country, what we see in leadership, how they could have done some things. Many times we give them commendation of their posture and their position, But not all the times we can be able to do that. Sometimes it's condemnation. They're wrong for this. They're wrong for that. Let's talk. Next telephone call on the line. Caller, go ahead. Caller on the line, go ahead. Hello? 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Anywhere for the Family Violence, 242-300. 5720, or hit me up 422-4796. Let me take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. Get right back after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
I've been at a Pinda and I meet him in his showroom. I say, Pinda, I just come out of a showroom in Portugal and let me tell you something, them showroom and selection ain't got nothing on yours. Man, I like this stock of porcelain, this ceramic tile you got here. What I really like is the range of sizes that come in, 8x48, 12x24, 24x24. And what I really, really like, more than the things I really like, is the price. From $275 a square foot to $494 a square foot and all in between, you can't beat that. Not even with a 2x4 from Enterprises.
Attention Marco's Pizza lovers in Freeport and to our Cable Beach customers. We have heard you. Marco's $10 carryout, one large, one topping pizza is now available at all locations. That's right. Whether you live out east, west, central, south, or in Freeport, Marco's has you covered. Call in or order online and pick up in restaurant today. Marco's is getting bigger and better by the moment. This unbelievable.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. Y'all got the white hot. Caliente. Y'all got the white hot in here. And to the caller, Dwight feels like that's defaming his character, defaming his posture, defaming his position, inconsistent with what he does. And he says, if we find out who you are, he's going to be able to pursue legal action. That's what he says. right? Because it goes contrary to these particular things. He started to tell me about the backdrop of what happened this morning and what he was talking about on his show and how he switched it to talk about Donald Trump because he didn't want anyone to impede the justice and the transparency of what can happen in this. We've seen this before. We've seen this sort of an idea, especially with Adrian Gibson being such a high public figure and the allegations levied against him and being able to have those conversations on air and talking about that in these particular spaces. The first thing he did, go before a judge and say, listen, I can't get a fair trial because of this, this, and this. So it's important that we understand maybe we may have access to information. Maybe we may know some stuff that's not said in these particular spaces, but we have the responsibility. Whilst there is freedom of speech, we're required to be responsible with this particular thing. Let's be decent about it. Let's take a telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Grant. How you doing?
Hi, good, man. What's happening?
I can't complain.
Praise God.
When you was talking, before I get to my main point, but when you was talking about how people was looking at you and saying that you were privileged, right?
Yeah.
And you were looking at other people and saying other people privileged.
Yeah.
Right? Children come up in a society, when children grow up, they can't understand the inequality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as if that is wrong in a society. I think we should live in a village-type society where everybody got the same thing, where everybody ain't nobody better than nobody else, you know? Because I feel as if it gives a false sense of superiority and inferiority. Mm-hmm. You understand where I come from? Just because I have more material things than another child, my family, I feel as if I'm better than them.
Mm.
You understand where I come from? And it does something to children when they're growing up, you know, in that kind of way. And that's why I can remember a couple of years back, I can remember the Cuban government not allowing relatives like in America and stuff to send back toys and things for children who were on the island of Cuba, because those children who didn't get the toys would feel, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
rejected and feel mm-hmm. like they're inferior and they feel, you know, that kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
You had the children riding around on a bicycle in New England and stuff like that. So they forbid gifts to be sent to children from America to Cuba for that reason. You know, that kind of way. And I thought that was a very insightful and shows that the Cuban government understands the deeper operations of the human being. You understand where I'm coming from?
It's heavy what you're saying, but I want to refute it.
All right, but as long as I still get to make my point, I call it.
Go ahead, go. Yeah, I can fight it. I can refute when you finish. Go ahead.
You can do it now. I mean, so I
okay, yeah, yeah, okay. I can let you talk. Refute, let me tell you why. I lived in Cuba, and during the time there was 11.6 million people in Cuba, right? And the literacy rate, right? The comprehension rate was 97%. These people are smart people. These people are smart people. The Cuban government, a communist government, has paid for education top tier in the world. In fact, my friend who was here yesterday, 2 days ago, said to me that they have a shortage with kidney dialysis specialists in Mozambique. And as a result of that, they have recruited Cuban nurses and doctors. There's only three for a population of 34 million people. There was only three people dealing with kidney and dialysis and whatnot. So he said that they had to reach out to Cuba. We know that. We came from Cuba in terms of seeing what they can do. Now, as a result of this education, understanding, and you start to develop, your dreams become vivid. Your dreams become rich. You could see it every night, especially when you start with your education journey and you strengthen yourself in that. You want more for yourself. And every time you open your eyes, you live in an environment where there's no growth, there's no development, there's nothing more. Cuba, over the past 20 years, has lost almost 4 million people to migration. They've gone elsewhere. Nicaragua, Bahamas, and other spaces around the world, being able to integrate in their society, carrying that education with them. So I say that to say equality on one aspect is good. But being able to retain that, because there's aspirations that exist in your community. You can't stop me from dreaming, right? And you should not reject me because of my dream. You should not neglect me or suppress me because of my dream. persons have an opportunity to be able to blossom. So that's the only way I wanted to reject that. When you're smart and you're educated.
Really rejecting me to talking with Senator Toys to Howard, but furthermore, but let me say something about what you say just now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, more or less what you were saying in simple terms is that when people can't satisfy with the necessities in life and they want more than that, they want materialism, that we should, that everything cool with that. I mean, I ain't got a problem with something, but say that. Don't put it like this, or like so. You know, because in Cuba they make sure that people have the necessities.
Yeah, you get your basic necessities.
Yeah, you know, your necessities, and plus you have top tier medical care, right?
Yeah.
Huh? And you live in a society that is not overwhelmed with crime, right?
Right.
So what's your problem is?
No, it ain't no problem.
Okay, so if you want more than that, Howard, right?
Go elsewhere.
Then you want material vanity. You understand? Because you have all your basic necessities. You live in a society that is not crime-ridden, and you have top-tier health care where people got to pay for it in the other places in the world, but you want to leave because...
But these exact same elements...
Because you sit in Cuba, and you see what's going on the outside world, and you want some of that. Because some of your people who migrated to Miami and Florida, they live in and they driving around in Lexus and things and all kind of stuff, so you want that too.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So say that. Don't make it seem as if it's so...
No,
you know,
but watch me.
You know?
No, but watch me. The same concept about low crime, education, exposure, so forth and so on, that exists in Singapore. That exists in Singapore without this kind of embargo. I know. I understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is that the communist government that exists in these particular spaces that gives a sense of suppression, these same ideas and values in another space, these people are blossoming and have access to the Beamer and the Lexus and the so forth and so on. So
yeah,
what's the difference?
Yeah, but I'm trying to say, Howard, that in Cuba, they have what they need to live.
Well,
yes,
that's debatable also.
Okay. Well, my point is this too, Howard. If you want to straighten out the country, right, then you got to remove the crooked people. You got to remove the crooked people, then it can become straight.
I like that.
And see, and the thing about it is that, like, I see Howard, me personally, right? I'm not going to come on this radio and tell the Bahamian people that we need to hold our government and all of those individuals in certain positions accountable, right? And then when it comes to my time to hold certain people accountable, I'm going to be a hypocrite. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Nah.
I understand.
Yeah, now, I have, see, now, my situation is a bit different from these people who be calling you, Howard, you see, because I have something that can be a benefit to this nation and that can create jobs, sustainable jobs. You understand where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell my story one of these days, Howard. You see, I want to tell my complete story one of these days about a particular government agency.
Mm.
And my personal experience and the people who I personally sat down with and showed my work to, and who I left my daughter. I don't want to be censored when I want to tell that story, because, see, by doing that, right, we're going to hold these people accountable. You understand where I come from, Howard? We can't have this, and see, because like people have been saying before, a lot of these individuals who hold good top positions in these government agencies, they roll around in a certain cycle. You know what I mean? They have a certain cycle of friends.
Mm-hmm.
A certain cycle of people who they interact with. You understand? In the media and all these other places, and they don't want to mash each other corn.
Mm.
You understand? I'm from Howard? And
I understand.
You see, like people have been saying before, people who should be checking people are their friends.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm from? And
yeah.
You can't be someone's friend, right? Or you can't be in a position where you are friendly with people. Right?
And
who
there's
you need
injustices.
To be holding accountable, and then trying to be like some kind of in between the public and them, trying to tell us how we should behave, etc. When you know mm-hmm. that you're not willing to take the necessary action to bring the change that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
Because I like this, because my wheel's churning. I want to talk to you about being able to break this down and talk about how we could approach transparent conversation. Now, when you start to talk about censorship, you have to remember we are still under the auspices, rules, regulations that govern our station under IRCA.
I understand.
So I will get sued, but
yeah,
I won't talk.
It. I understand how. I understand it. I understand what you're saying, right? And see, as long as what I'm saying is truthful.
Okay.
Right?
As and you can prove
what I'm
this.
Truthful, right? Then what's the problem? As long as I'm not using any foul language, And even if I say, even if I call a person's name, right, and the things I say about that person may not make that person look good, but if it's true and if it's what I experienced, then I should be able to say it on the radio.
Okay.
Because if that person, government, if that person was acting in a government role in a government facility, I should be able to tell the public how I feel as if that person did not perform their job properly.
I like what you're saying.
You understand where I'm coming from?
I like what you're saying. I believe in transparency. I believe in exposure.
Because Howard, look here. Like I said before, listen. Like I said, I'd be a hypocrite. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
If I tell people in this country that they do the things I speak of.
I like it.
I'm gonna demonstrate what it is to hold people accountable. You understand? And the only way it don't work is that the Bahamian people don't come behind me and support me.
But there are avenues in our society that afford you an opportunity to be able to get this.
Howard, what kind of avenues? Give me some.
You could go to the magistrate court. You could go to these particular, if you feel slighted in this particular manner.
Howard.
I just wonder. Is that an option?
Too, right? I could go there too. I could go there. I could go to the media, which I plan on doing because I plan on having a story so people can see what I do. You understand? I plan on going to the media, and I plan on having a story so people can see exactly what I talk. You understand? On top of that, but I should be able to state my case and my story on the radio.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Well, you got my personal number. Let's talk and see what's what. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. He's a good, decent man for being able to talk like this. You do have my number. And if you don't, 827-0111. I will hear you out. I will hear you out and hear the elements of your story and say to you, let's say, for instance, John is the manager for NIB. Let's say we're using NIB. John Doe is the manager for NIB. He is the division manager for IT. Let's just say that, right? We could still have the same significant implications and talk about the position without being able to call John Doe name. And I don't know whether or not that is the emphasis that you want to place there, or you want to be able to bring this public ridicule and being able to show the indifference and the inconsistency in John Doe as an individual against what his position requires him to do. And so that is a gray area that could be able to put us in the line of fire of being sued and the host of being able to have this kind of transparent conversation of what's happening, all right? So I just want to be decent in those particular areas and talk like that. Let's take the next telephone call. Go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Howard Grant.
What's up, my brother?
Give thanks. I don't know if I talk to you for your blessed new year, but, you know, Howard, I could agree with a lot of things Chris was saying, right? But, you know, what hurts me is even a blind mind can see and sense the unfreedom of the press, you know. And so I don't know if you was listening to the Glenn Beck show on WIOD or whatever. And so you could see the contrast.
Glenn Beck, he was on Fox, right?
Glenn Beck show on WIOD.
No, I'm saying he was on Fox, right? They fired him for Fox, and then he found himself independent.
I really don't know. He's come on a show where I listen. And so, I mean, I listen to them, and I see what they're allowed to say on the radio in the States. And so we're kind of muzzled here in the third world sub-regions for basically political ostracization, whatever it be, right? But I kind of like what Chris was saying, but you know that Burundi in Africa, right? You know, it's one of the poorest countries. I think they say the per capita is $500 a year, right? So, but they say the people are very happy. It is also known as the land of 1,000 smiles.
Mm-hmm.
And so the human race and the human journey has become external factors like materialism. It is comfort. Even so, as Mr. Pintard said, that transportation or a car is not a luxury, it's a necessity. But I'm afraid that a car is a luxury, and it is both. I wouldn't call it a necessity, but it is a luxury. I don't care who sees it otherwise. Money got more obese. So let me get on with another story here. So let's look at you were talking initially about corruption, right?
Mm-hmm.
But firstly, I'd like to say to the Bahamian government and to the people, I'm like, as you mentioned, Cuba, one of the things I remember that I have learned and that I've come to know is that the greatest capital for a country is its people. Its greatest resources is its people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not investing in the people, educational-wise, just putting mechanisms in place to make your people excel, then it's futile to talk about improving people's lives. Like, you know, the PM is talking about bringing down the cost of food, et cetera, et cetera. And so during the pandemic, and if you read COVID-19 and the Great Reset, and not many people didn't do, I wanted to ask Lang this question because I saw a terminology they use in there, in which they talk about inflation. And so Lange, I remember Lange saying that we shouldn't even expect for prices to go down, I think. But what I'm saying is they was always saying that this inflation would be transitory. So as I juxtapose it with science, because that's what I'm well-versed in. So if it's transitory, that means it'll just be passing through. But we see that inflation is not transitory. It is stagnatory. It's stagnant. All right? So I observe, and so I use common sense where my knowledge stops. But as it relates to corruption, and then we see talks about corruption and changing people here and there, but you're not changing the infrastructure of how would it allow corruption to proliferate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the problem right there. You could change this, and I see they've gotten rid of Mrs. Integrity, right? This is the press that he is in office for the PF, but that's what they call it, Mrs. Integrity. And then I see where the former commissioner of police, Mr. Fernando, made a statement saying that he left Integrity intact. But, you know, it didn't exist, so how could you leave it? So they allowed to say status quo narratives without being able to give an account. And put, I mean, these type of narratives are sickening to me, because you have eyes to see, you observe the newspaper just like me, just like everybody else. But you're saying to the place that you left Integrity intact. However, that doesn't insult to you and every being in. Everything. Yeah. Well, let me move on to something else then. And so what is the effect of this status quo type selective justice enforcement? You know what? You can imagine the effects on the ghetto youths or the youths as when they see these corruption and whatever going on all throughout the country, not just with this particular scenario. But it sends a negative approach to them. They can't care anymore, Howard. That's what I'm saying. It's the negative effects that it's sending to the people. All right? So let's get back to the PM to reducing the cost of living and the pain index, right? The misery index, right? So why is it that there's simple things that they could have done initially, you know? You still have bought on, I've been to get medication for my child. You still have bought on medication. You still have bought on children's clothing. You still have bought on certain necessities. You could easily curtail these things. Dr. Sands came on the radio the other day and showed them that they could take part of these things like strawberries. You don't hear me complaining about the price of food, you know? Because, you see, I know the global agenda. People, the naive mind, the imbecilic mind, the underread mind, the bookless mind, they really think that people care about them. When humans start to realize that, this world will be a better place, that we are responsible for ourselves. Nobody cares about you. When the Negro realized that, that's it. And wow. So until then, we will just be wallowing and wallowing. And you made your predictions. Why is it that I should think too to be better? Because a politician who appears to be a magician come in the areas and tell me that it will be better. I might as well take my brains and stomp it. I don't deserve it. We need to stop this mind.
Thank you,
the whole world is being deceived because we don't want to farm and we don't want to do anything. We're going to put on a coat suit and walk downtown and play cool and show off with vanity because we see someone else doing it. Howard, give thanks and listen to what I say. You know, I don't have time to be wearing who like what I say. You know,
I like
it. There's an unfreedom of the press and there's an unfreedom to express yourself. I simply said to give an... I tried to paint a picture this morning to show where these people are not serious about investigating anything, Howard. Because you can solve these problems by simply doing financial disclosures and getting phone records. That's all.
Yeah, but that ain't what they want to do.
So what's the point in calling and talking?
Right.
Best up, yeah.
I thank you, man. That ain't what they want to do. They won't be able to keep relationships intact. And the community should be sporadic. Wild. Like chickens with their head off. You ain't really serious about this. You got to be joking. Let's take a quick break. Get right back after this. Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this. The Foundation. The
Foundation. Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Everything is bigger and better at Burger King Nassau. When you have a big appetite, BK has a royal deal for you. Get a flame-grilled double Big King Jr. or an original chicken sandwich, plus four chicken nuggets, small fries, a drink, and a fresh baked cookie for only $9.95, including VAT. The royal deal was built for a big appetite. And at $9.95, including VAT, it's a steal of a deal. Go big and enjoy the BK flavors you love with the $9.95 royal deal at Burger King Nassau.
on Saturday, February 22nd, 2025 at 7 p.m. The Bahamar Convention Center will set the stage for an unforgettable celebration of 25 years of giving back and supporting healthcare education in the Bahamas. Experience a night of excitement with exquisite fine dining, captivating live entertainment, and an inspiring atmosphere as we come together to celebrate and shape a brighter, healthier future. Tickets are available now. Reserve your spot today by emailing dhfoundation@doctorshosp.com or calling 242-302-4640. Sponsorship opportunities are also available to show your support for this important cause. The Doctors Hospital Meyer Rath, transforming healthcare and building a legacy. Don't miss this special celebration.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect. One of the main things, talk about this as we talk about, you know, as we transition into something else. There are four or five different aspects of anger, right, that you can be able to identify, the stages and the levels of anger. One is irritation, which is an initial trigger, right? It's a mild reaction to the perceived inconvenience. The next one is agitation, which is it excels from that particular position, right? So in initial irritation, it grows due to the perceived unfairness of the repeated triggers. And then the next one is hostility, right? And so this is internalizing or externalizing. You could show this hostility internally, or you could be able to present that and exert that externally. You can be able to do that. And then the next one is aggression. So that's outward expression, aggression. And then the last one is rage, when you lose control entirely. Now, one of these things is to what we're talking about today. One of the issues is that the incremental steps that leads towards this anger escalation, right? This excelling of anger. One of the major things is the perceptions of threats or injustice. You perceive that this is absolutely unjust. That's where we are as a nation. We're angry because we perceive that this is absolutely unjust. That we can tell you, that we can see with our eyes, our God-given eyes, that this is unjust. That there's no fairness here. There's no balance here. There's no equality here. There is no commonwealth in this particular space. This is unjust. Right? And then you could be able to talk about those things. That's one of the hallmarks of what we identify. And that's why I'm talking about these things. We have an issue with this. You have 52, you had the caller before that. There is an issue with these particular things, this injustice that exists in this space. We're angry. We won't deal with it. I think I got one more telephone call before we get out of here. Caller, go ahead.
Good day, Howard.
Hey, good day.
Well, you know, I've been calling and seeking justice and assisting upon the law for a couple of years now, right? The caller before 52, he has a passion about his life. And he, this isn't the first time I heard him say what his flaws are, what he has. But see, everybody seemed to tell people, but in the lawyers and before them and everything. And everybody has to be very careful, because when it comes to them, lawyers, most of the politicians, lawyers, right?
Yeah, some of them are, yeah.
Okay. When it comes to your ideas and your creativity, you have to be very careful. I came on one of these shows, it was Aaron Show last year, I think, a year ago. And she has created some female portal and everything. And my advice now is be very careful who you share your ideas with. The young man said the same thing. that they move in certain circles. And as, you know, 52, we'll go from one thing to the next, and it's very learned and well read. You know, and we know, they live to steal your ideas, whether they have the money to do it, or they will sell.
Hold on, before you go further. You know, this is what you're saying to me. You know, and we know, that they live to steal your ideas. That's how they live. They only live to thief from you. That's what you're saying to me.
No, I said they live to thief from you.
No, your ideas.
You have to be careful.
Okay, go ahead.
What's the best kept secret?
In the book? I don't know. What is the best kept secret?
The one that you keep to yourself.
Oh, okay.
You see, so you have to be careful who you sit down with and who you consider to be your friend.
I like this advice that you've given, because you often talk about a specific incident that you've gone through that has been unresolved. And you often talk about how a government agency or individuals seek to be able to keep yours with no regard. But now today, because he's called people name and all that stuff like that. But, you know, now today you're giving advice for all of us to be able to take significant caution before we bring these things forward. I like it.
Howard, I've always been given advice. The last time I spoke with you, I asked you what's the difference between a lawyer and an attorney, right? Mm-hmm. I gave you the difference, right?
Mm-hmm, you did.
Huh? You did for the whole country. Mm-hmm. See, they don't like it that I done beat them in several cases, defending my family properties and my personal stuff. They can't do nothing with what I deal with. But I ain't got to get into that. They know I didn't sit. Because
I like
the problem, they got it like this. Everything they do, mm-hmm. cost the value of my property go up exponentially.
Yeah.
And they can't take it away. But I ain't getting into that.
Yeah.
The thing is, I want, I told Aaron and CA anyway.
Hold on. This is at 1:59. And I really got to apologize to you. Because I always like when you be able to get, unless you're talking about specific people, but I like your contribution. I want to thank you for being able to do that. We're going to give space for having deeper conversation about those things and even lending advice of how we could be able to rectify some things or safeguard ourselves for some things well into the future. We talked about it. We talked about being able to get our LLC, talked about being able to identify ourselves and get an account offshore to prepare ourselves to diversify our portfolio. So we can talk about these things expansively. I want to thank you guys for being able to tune in with us. We're still talking anger management. We're still talking forgiveness and the path to peace. And I want to be able to do that. Tomorrow, we're going to deviate just a bit and get into Small Business Thursday. So if you want to be able to call something, it's the new year. I want to talk about my things. I get a trailer here and I got to sell some stuff. Give me a call. 827-0111. 827-0111. We can make some things happen. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Godspeed right here on The Foundation.
The Foundation.